good people who have traveled from villages near and far. Lend me your ears.
Hello? Hello? Anybody home?
What's up, Miss Tasty?
What's up, what's up?
Hi there, nice to see you. Bumblebee Tuna? Bumblebee Tuna!
Hello, West Mantooth. Hello, Evening News Team.
You are now listening to another edition of Movie Review Crew.
Welcome to the Goody Room.
But their ability to open is f***ing heroic.
And now, with your permission, I'm going to do my stuff.
What are you going to do?
I'm going to do the best I can.
All right, welcome in, everybody. This is another edition of the Movie Review Crew. I'm your host, Mike Lucas, and joining me is Shane Cronican.
How's it going?
And Steve Rushlaw.
How you doing?
Oh, we are doing great. It is a fine, beautiful Sunday when we are recording. And I got to say, guys, I watch less movies as the weather gets warmer. Do you feel the same way?
100%, especially living where I'm at now. Yes, we go outside, we take the dogs for walks, and we live right across from a nature reserve, which is like 700 acres of nothing. So we just take the dogs and go walking. So yeah, absolutely.
Steve, what about you?
Yeah, I'd have to agree. The weather getting nice and it's not, you know, 30 below zero.
for real.
We're more likely to take walks with the dogs or just sit outside and read books. I mean,
and part of that could be is, you know, we're with COVID and everything, we're kind of getting out of it now. I mean, we're at least hopefully on the path to getting out of it, I should say. But we've been quarantined, we've been closed in, and winter's been around. So it's one of those, like, getting out and just doing things outside is nice.
Yeah, without a doubt. Without a doubt. I mean, last year we did a lot of like bonfires around the house and stuff. Around the house? It sounds like I'm building a moat of fire.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you could.
Do it. My God, do it.
Yeah, right? I mean, what's the worst that could happen? Can't
Nothing.
Think of one.
There's no negatives.
Yeah. So anyway, so yeah, last year we spent a good portion of the time having some fires outside the house. So even that sounds weird. Anyway, not the point. And it's finally getting back into like fire season.
Oh yeah,
yeah, definitely.
And I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, we had a fire 2 weeks ago, I think, and it was a little chilly, but it's getting to the point where we could start doing them all over again.
And grilling season.
Yes, sir.
Oh man.
I don't have a grill. I used to. It broke. But of all things it needs is a regulator, like the Warren G song, you know, regulator.
Mount up.
Yep, exactly.
You, Mike.
What's up?
You probably don't know, but that's from a movie called Young Guns, probably made before you were born.
Okay. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And?
And it's a very good movie, and you should watch it. It's a Western. It has basically anybody that was big in the 90s.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that was
Charlie
late 80s.
Sheen. I think the first one might have been, maybe. I don't know. It was either late 80s or
88.
Like 88? Okay, well, there you go. So you were not born. I was just only born. But
I want to see the date when it came out because we might not be older than
Charlie Sheen, Emilio Estevez, Lou Diamond Phillips. I mean, it had like, anyways, they were the regulators, and that was the line, regulators, mount up. So that's what that's from. Now you know, you're educated.
Just to let you know, we were born August 12th.
We're nice.
That's funny. That's funny. Okay, guys, switching subjects a little bit. We have a lot to get into, and this is a perfect episode to do this, but the Oscar nominations were released for 2021 a week ago now, by the time this airs. Yeah.
Yep.
Anything, I mean, do we want to run through them all? Chadwick Boseman was the nominee.
I can give you just my general thoughts, and I think this was not unanticipated. It seems pretty underwhelming to me, and we kind of expected that because of COVID and a lot of movies got pushed back. They're released,
for sure.
they weren't released, so we got fewer movies. And I think the bigger, more anticipated movies were pushed back. So kind of an underwhelming Oscar list. Not to say that these movies aren't good. You just don't have those like big, flashy, well-known movies that I could get excited about.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. Agreed. This is bad for me to say, being the host of a movie review podcast. I don't know if I've seen a whole lot of these movies or heard of them for that matter.
Or want to, that is my big issue. A lot of those is like, yeah, I've heard of that. I just don't have the desire. I'm one of those. I already, even when the Oscars are normal, I don't want to see half the movies, but especially this year, I want entertainment. I want some pacing and some excitement in my movies, but I don't know. I'm overgeneralizing, but I just have no desire.
No, I'm right there with you. I think the movies this year are similar to any other year. I mean, a lot of them are artsy fartsy movies. You take one of the ones that's up for Best Picture. A movie called Mank, M-A-N-K.
Yeah.
That is about the guy who made, why can't I think of that?
Citizen Kane, isn't it?
Yeah. So it's like a 2.5-hour movie about the guy who made Citizen Kane. Like,
and that's the thing. It stars an incredible, incredible actor. It's directed by who, in my opinion, is one of the best directors currently working.
Fincher is fantastic.
But still, I can't make myself watch it, because it's like that, or like Bruce Willis's most recent crappy sci-fi movie, which I know is going to be terrible. I don't want to watch a movie about Orson Welles. I have zero desire.
Okay.
I want a movie. I want a story, and not a real life black and white.
Hear me out. I kind of felt the same way about the movie that we're reviewing today, you know, Trial of the Chicago 7. I didn't know a whole lot about it. I didn't really care. Spoiler alert, I think this is a good movie. It's nominated for Oscars.
And that's the thing is I just have to get myself in the right mindset, because a lot of times when I don't want to watch a movie and it's something like that, I'll watch it and I'll love it, but I just have to be in the right mindset. Or I mean, we keep going back to this as the prime example, but Whiplash, I never wanted to watch that. I never would have watched that. Mm-hmm. It's one of my favorite movies ever now. And
that's such a good
one. Not saying Mank would be the same thing, but I would probably enjoy it and enjoy the performance from Oldman and enjoy the direction from Fincher. I just can't get myself in that mindset.
Shane, did you watch The Darkest Hour?
I still haven't. No, that's another one of those there's a Scott Atkins movie out. I'll watch.
In Darkest Hour, Gary Oldman surprised me with how good that movie is. But then I look at this one and I'm like, I don't know if Gary Oldman can get me into that. I mean, Oldman's so good, but
yeah.
But one of the ones I did want to talk about that I think could get some wins is Nomadland. That's on Hulu. Francis McDormand's in it, and she's fantastic.
I agree. She's amazing. But you've seen it, then, Steve? Haven't seen.
Yeah, I watched it. While I don't think the whole movie was great, because it has a bunch of people that she just found on the side. Like, these people are actually the people who are nomads who move from this country or city to city trying to just survive with different jobs. That's
interesting.
Oh yeah,
that's always a risk though when movies do that. They're not actors. I mean, for all the realism it creates, that it hurts the movie most times.
Yeah, I mean, I see what you're saying, but
just some examples off the top of my head. I don't remember Act of Valor, I think it was called, where they used real, I don't know if they were Marines or Navy SEALs or whatever it was.
Right.
I mean, they were just terrible actors. Clint Eastwood, he did that 11/22 to Paris or whatever that was. And he used the actual people. Fine. I get it. It adds realism. They were actually there, but they're not actors. They're bad. They can't do the job that's required of them. I would much rather have an actor. That's their job. That's their role. That's what they're supposed to do.
You could definitely tell that they weren't actors, but I think that was better than most movies that try to use just normal people. Because, I mean, they're just, it's what they do for a living. It's how they survive.
Yeah. It's definitely a give and take, but I'll take a good actor.
But to answer your question, Mike, I believe it's a down year for Oscars.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's just a down year for
movies,
the film industry.
True, right? Yeah.
Like you've never seen a disruption, and I mean never have seen a disruption to an industry like COVID did to film, right?
And how, what COVID did to a lot of things, but yes, I mean, it has seriously hampered and possibly, I mean, I don't want to say killed, but I mean, the theater business is hurting.
Yeah.
Film production companies are hurting. Writers are, I mean, it's, mm-hmm. it's tough.
I kind of want to run through a few of these actors in a leading role real quick.
Go ahead.
Riz Ahmed, we've talked about him on the Sound of Metal episode. I think,
and we all admitted that he was incredible in that role. It was just the movie that was.
Yep, that's kind of what I was going to say. Chadwick Boseman. I haven't seen Ma Rainey's Black Bottom.
Brent said he saw it, and then the movie was just okay.
Yeah. Did that one get nominated for Best Picture as well?
Ma Rainey's?
I think it did.
Yeah.
No.
Oh, it didn't.
That's no, it surprising. Didn't.
No, it did not. Okay, but The Sound of Metal did. That's right.
Yes. Every other one in that category
me.
Did.
Okay.
Of course, The Sound of Metal is one of those where it's nothing like this movie, but it's similar in a way that Gravity, where it's like the movie's just okay, but the achievements behind, you know, the technical aspects and creating the movie, the sound design, mm-hmm, the mm-hmm. acting, the right, like it's all incredible, but the movie just was fine.
Right.
So it's one of those, like, I don't love the movie, but I guess I understand why it got nominated.
Yeah. Now one of the things I wanted to talk about was Lakeith Stanfield from Judas and the Black Messiah. He's in that Atlanta. He's in Atlanta, and he has the funniest freaking character. And
really, I don't think I've ever seen him in a comedy role.
I'm thinking of the same thing.
Because he's an incredible actor, and in anything I've seen him in, he's fantastic. But I would have never guessed he could pull off comedy. That's
he was in Knives Out. Which,
yeah, but it wasn't.
He was one of the straight characters.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Dude. He's been good in everything I've seen him in. But I that surprised me that he plays a hilarious character in Atlanta.
He plays like a stoner burnout dude that's like way lost in the galaxy. Like, it's really? So funny, dude. He legitimately, and I think like this gives some more recognition, might be one of my favorite like up and coming actors. You know what I mean? Like,
that is impressive, because I never, because comedy's hard, especially if you're a serious actor that like I have only seen him as.
Watch a couple episodes of Atlanta, man. They're fast. They're only 20-some minutes.
You keep talking about that.
I know. It's never, so good.
I don't doubt it. I just, I've been watching other things.
I know.
I'm going to have to just at least give it like a 2-episode trial run.
I think you should. I think you definitely should. He's really good at it, though. What other names in the Oscars pop out to you guys? Sacha Baron Cohen got nominated for Borat.
yep.
Nope. No, nominated for Trial of Chicago 7. But it's crazy to think that in the same year that Borat 2 comes out, he gets nominated for a different movie. You know what I mean? Like,
right?
The Borat's a meme movie. That's all it is.
Right. Yeah.
There's an actress in a supporting role that was nominated for Borat.
That's so silly, man.
Supposedly that movie was really good.
Yeah, I haven't seen it. But you get what I'm saying. Like, it's
I understand.
Crazy, silly movie. Yeah. Also, I love the name of Borat too. Borat subsequent movie film, delivery of prodigious bribe to American regime for make benefit once glorious nation of Kazakhstan.
So stupid.
Dude, but it's so funny. It's so funny. Cinematography, Trial of Chicago 7, Nomadland, and Judas and the Black Messiah. I just looked up Judas and the Black Messiah.
I want to see.
That's on Hulu, isn't it? Or HBO? Sorry.
I don't know.
I don't remember what that's on. And maybe it is HBO, and that's why I haven't watched it, because I only just recently got HBO.
HBO Max.
Speaking of HBO, yeah. So I when we're ready for what we've watched, I got an HBO special that I watched.
Okay. I mean, that kind of. I just wanted to touch a little bit on the Oscars. Guys, listeners of the show, if you guys have any discussion that you want to bring up to us about the Oscar nominations this year, please send us an email at podcast@moviereviewcrew.com. And while we're on the subject, request movies right on our homepage. moviereviewcrew.com.
Yeah, this is actually a movie, a requested movie, the Trial of Chicago 7.
Is it really?
Yeah, it was requested by George, I hope I'm saying this right, Gross, G-R-O-S-S-E, George, not George, Greg. I can't read, I'm pulling
apparently
a mic
not.
Right now.
Yeah.
Greg Gross requested the Trial of Chicago 7.
Yeah, I used
so
to
this is
Greg.
A listener request.
Yeah, that's because awesome. This was supposed to be listener request month, but I think
we'll
we're
get
all,
kicked
all
back into it.
All a little busy the past couple weeks, so
yeah. We'll get kicked back into it. I actually know my pick, and I'm surprised we haven't done it. It's going to be like one of those love fest movies, I know, but it's such a good movie, and it was requested, and I'm surprised we haven't done it, frankly.
Solid. So that wraps up the movie talk, or the Oscar talk, the Oscar talk thus far. What have you guys seen lately, Shane? Do you want to start?
Yeah, so I recently got HBO Max, and the Zack Snyder Justice League cut was released.
Oh, yeah.
So it was my day off. I was doing laundry, so while I'm folding and doing all that, I watched a 4-hour and 2-minute long Zack Snyder Justice League cut. And it is fine. It's fine. It's most definitely an improvement upon the theatrical cut. It's the tone is more consistent. There's not forced humor that Joss Whedon tried to put in there with his reshoots. And it's more the story is more coherent, because it's not like a butchered up edited version like from Whedon. So it definitely flows better, but it's still not great. It's good.
Right.
And it definitely, there's some scenes that should have been cut and could have been cut,
right,
and kept it coherent and smooth. But I mean, 4 hours is a little silly.
Agreed.
But it's still DC is behind Marvel. I mean, this is supposed to be their huge big event. It's something to rival, you know, the Avengers movies, but it doesn't, in my opinion, it still doesn't even come close to the weakest of the Avengers movies. I think in terms of casting, acting, directing,
really?
Visuals, Marvel's just
inferior.
Better.
Or I'm sorry, DC.
Yeah,
inferior.
DC is
yeah.
inferior, and it's not. I don't know. I mean, it's fine. It's not bad. I don't want to sound like I'm bashing it, but it's just not great. And I don't feel like it warrants the 4 hours. It felt like just overindulgence more than epic scale. But it was fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I've never seen the original, well, the Joss Whedon one, because you guys dogged on it so much. So for me to like go and try to watch like 7 hours worth of movies,
I would say just skip the theatrical, but even still, 4 hours, would I recommend it?
Yeah.
No, it's 4 hours, and it doesn't merit the 4 hours. So I guess no, because that's a long time to
commit.
Yeah,
it's a very long time.
Anything else you'd seen? I mean, briefly. Sorry, I'm just running out.
Just
of time
real briefly, there's a couple articles that I wrote on our website, just for some Netflix thrillers that I just kind of clicked on. So, and they were actually pretty good. I would recommend them. So, read those articles and check those out on Netflix.
Clutch, love to see it. Steve, what about you?
I watched a movie on Netflix called Moxie. It's about some high school girls that kind of start fighting back against, I guess, what would be gender oppression. It was an enjoyable movie. It was able to grab your attention and get you interested in their fight. So if you have Netflix, check it out. And one other thing I wanted to say, the first episode of The Falcon and the Winter Soldier came out on Disney Plus. Because, you know, I'm the Marvel guy.
For sure, yeah.
Definitely enjoyed it. I can't wait for the next episode because, I mean, Captain America is kind of my guy. But definitely enjoyed it. I think Disney Plus is doing a good job with these shows.
I actually saw something recently, and I'm glad you brought it up. WandaVision was the most expensive TV show of all time.
Yeah, and I could imagine the CGI and the set changes that they've done over nine episodes is pretty intense.
They had
that's been paying off. I mean, think of the hype that I mean, WandaVision. I haven't seen it. I'm behind on my Marvel stuff, but WandaVision was like the most hyped up show.
Yeah,
recently. I mean, it was big. So I mean, I guess the money paid off.
Yeah, they.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just gonna say the budget for their special effects, I think, was like double Game of Thrones in their final season, which is just bonkers, like per episode.
Yeah, and I actually watched the season finale of WandaVision last night. Mm-hmm. Pretty impressive. I like what they're doing with Scarlet Witch. I know my wife says that they don't have a lot of female superheroes.
Right.
And I think what they're doing with her is they're building her up to be a huge badass.
Well,
that's awesome.
It helps that she's a significantly better actress than Brie Larson.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
definitely.
Maybe not significantly better. Significantly more relatable and likable, maybe is a better way to word it.
Oh, so Shane, if you start watching WandaVision, make it through the first couple, three episodes before you turn it off. Because the two episodes, you're kind of left in the shadows.
But just make sure you watch Atlanta first.
All right, fair enough.
I think we all need to.
Dude, Atlanta's good. Anyway, yeah.
And that's what I've watched the past couple weeks.
What's on the slate for Marvel movies? I haven't been keeping up, but
a new Thor movie. I know they announced that.
Okay. So I know they're talking about. God, why can't I think of it? Black Widow movie is supposed to come out.
Oh, yeah. That was supposed to come out last year.
Wait, what?
Black Widow movie is supposed to come out.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, it was supposed to be this month, but they're kind of fighting with HBO and releasing it to theaters. So it's kind of it keeps getting pushed back because of it. And then they're doing Shang-Chi.
Yeah, that one is interesting.
And then next year is supposed to be the big year where they have the new Thor movie, the Doctor Strange movie, and Black Panther. So
I thought I saw not too long ago they announced the new Spider-Man title. Isn't that later this year?
Yeah, it's 2021, but I haven't heard when they're going to release that. Yeah. So
when they're doing shows, like they're doing that Loki TV show. There's a Blade show that is that this year or next year? I don't remember
next year. One of the shows that I'm actually interested in it's called What If. So it's what if certain things happen, like what if Captain America was a Hydra agent?
That was a real big comic line, or maybe still is. I'm not super into comics, but
when that comes out, I'll be seeing that. So
interesting. Yeah, Disney
and Marvel are gonna make a crap ton of money coming up.
Yeah.
I mean, Aaron likes to hate on them, but we've stated before, their product, they release quality products, and yeah, they cater to the fans enough to mm-hmm. where it, they give them what they want, and mm-hmm. it's a formula for success.
And I think these movies are going to be better, and I say that being a fan, because it's Black Widow, it's Shang-Chi, it's Doctor Strange. There's not going to be 60 different heroes, 60 different people to try to figure out what's going on, where it's all muddled together. They're actually telling a story.
To the singular character title, you know, movies.
I mean, take Iron Man, for example. Them building his character singularly is one of the best movies in the MCU.
Yeah.
Although I am disappointed, they did announce not too long ago, Blade will not be rated R, which is a huge, huge disappointment to me. I don't know how you tell that character story and make it PG-13.
Yeah, I don't really know. Either.
That's going to be interesting.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure they'll find a way. They like we just kind of talked about, they know how to tell stories and they know how to put out a good product. So they must have a vision in mind, and we'll just have to wait and see.
I mean, you're right.
Hey, Mike.
What's up, homie?
What have you seen lately?
Not a whole lot. We've seen Mad Men. We're into season 4 or 5 now, and it's slowly been changing over the past season and a half, and it's interesting. It's just different.
For the better or the worse?
I don't like it as much as the early seasons, but I feel like that's the same way I felt about a lot of other shows.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean? Like, you see the characters progress, and I don't know, some, like, your first exposure to a character is just how you will always remember them, I guess. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And you get comfortable in a show, and then it evolves, and it's right. just different. And
it's not bad.
You don't want it to evolve. I just want what it keep doing the same thing.
Right, exactly. So, like I said, it's not bad. It's just different. We're going to continue to keep watching it, though. I'm enjoying my time, at the very least. But that's honestly all that I've seen. We watched a movie and I can't recall what it was now. It's not too, I'm not too worried about it.
Did you ever watch Knives Out?
I ended up watching.
Okay. I know she had watched it before.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm just checking. Mm-hmm.
The Day of the Betrayal. She Laura's actually watched more Oscar movies than I have this season. She was really? She started going through them. Yeah, she watched the Chadwick Boseman one, the Ma Rainey's, whatever it's called,
Black Bottom. I mean, it's only like 1:40 and it's on Netflix, so mm-hmm.
And then we watched Trial of Chicago 7 together, and then she watched something else. I don't remember which one it was. But maybe I'll get her to watch the Black Panther one with me, the Judas and the Black Messiah. But I don't know if that's quite her type of movie. Black Panther. But no, well, the Black, and the Black Panther Party.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, I thought you were talking about.
I Chadwick thought you were just Boseman. Calling Chadwick Black Panther.
Oh my god!
I thought you were talking about Ma Rainey's Black Bottom.
God.
I'm like, we just got done talking about Marvel. Now he's calling Chadwick Black Panther.
That's so funny. No, not what I meant. Not what I meant. Oh goodness. All right. Well, I think it's time to move on. Are you guys ready to get into Trial of Chicago 7?
I am ready.
All right, Trial of the Chicago 7. It's a 2020 film rated R, 2 hours and 9 minutes long, drama, history, thriller film. I don't know if I'd quite call this a thriller, but that's what IMDb has it classified as. The story of 7 people on trial stemming from various charges surrounding the uprising at the 1968 Democratic National Convention in Chicago, Illinois. Written and directed by Aaron Sorkin, starring Eddie Redmayne, Alex Sharp, Sacha Baron Cohen, John Carroll Lynch, Mark Rylance, Joseph Gordon-Levitt,
Frank Langella.
Frank Langella, Ben Shankman. Are there big names that I'm missing?
Michael Keaton, you've all listed.
Michael Keaton's in it.
Yeah, Keaton makes a brief cameo.
And that's about it. I think you named all the...
Yeah. Is Jeremy Strong?
Yes, he's. That's. I was wondering if you named him. He's very good in this too.
Okay, who is he in this one?
Jerry Rubin.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Okay. He's the one that's always sitting next to Sacha Baron Cohen.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. He looks a lot different out of costume.
Yes, he does.
Costume.
What? That's what it means. That's what it's called. It's
just weird saying it like that. Like it's Halloween or something.
Anyway, Trial of Chicago 7 on Rotten Tomatoes gets an 89% from critics, giving it a score of 7.8 out of 10. Audience score of 91%, 4.2 out of 5. The critics' consensus, an actor's showcase enlivened by its topical, fast-paced story. I'm sorry, fact-based, not fast-paced.
Well, that too.
Yeah. The Trial of Chicago 7 plays squarely and compellingly to Aaron Sorkin's strengths. This movie's available on Netflix, correct?
Yes, sir.
Steve, you picked it. It's a listener request from Greg Grossi, as we said. But why did you pick this one in particular?
You know, Shane had watched this movie when it first came out, and I really thought I had no passing that I wanted to watch this movie.
Yeah.
It's kind of it's a political movie. It's usually not what I watch, but I had watched it, and I actually enjoyed the movie. There's some great acting. And I didn't want to pick a horror movie because that's what a lot of our requests are.
Yeah. People go crazy for horror month, man.
And I wanted to watch a more recent movie, so this is the one I picked.
Love it. Love to see it. So, Shane, you had actually seen this one before?
Yeah. Heather picked this back when it first came out, and she likes fact-based movies, like, you know, based on a true story type of deal. Fast-paced, yeah. And she likes true crime, but, like, it's part of the criminal system. She likes watching that, so she chose it, and same with Steve. I just don't really have an interest in political type movies, and courthouse dramas tend to be lame.
I wouldn't necessarily say lame, but I get what you're saying.
They feel very dated. It's all been done, and they're super melodramatic, so I just didn't really have any desire. But I think it's well done all around. It's written very, very well. The acting across the board is phenomenal.
Yeah. This like the Rotten Tomatoes says, it's just a showcase for good actors.
It is. It absolutely is. And probably the one that you would expect least to steal the show in Cohen does. I mean, he was amazing.
Yes. I mean, but again, he's fantastic, very well deserving of an Oscar nomination. But is there an actor in here that did not like have a good scene?
No. And I think it's one of those Cohen gets nominated. It has happened before where the comedians get nominated for something because
they don't do that type of stuff.
Yeah, it's more really, I don't want to say it's only because, but it comes as a shock because they're like, wow, that's impressive. You can actually do it when, you know, Eddie Redmayne has been amazing in everything. And Jeremy Strong's a fantastic actor. I mean, all of them.
Yeah.
Well, then you have Mark Rylance and Joseph Gordon-Levitt, who are both fantastic in this. And then you get Frank Langella, who, plays that character to a T. You just want to hate him the whole time he's on the screen.
He that character
is a fantastic actor. If you guys have not seen, I think he was nominated for it, Frost. I think it's called Frost Nixon.
Frost Nixon. Yeah,
he was nominated.
Oh my God, he is, and that's another one. It's obviously a political movie, but holy cow, he was amazing in that movie. That was a performance that just blew me away. That was incredible.
Yeah, for sure. So this is kind of weird for me, but like Mark Rylance turned up for like the first time I had ever seen him in anything was Bridge of Spies in 2015.
And, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and now he's like killing it in everything he does.
Yeah.
It's just,
yeah, I mean, and he's been around since 1985 was his first thing on IMDb. Yeah. That's nuts.
Yeah. And he made a complete transformation for this movie. He looks nothing like any of his other roles. Like, you know what I mean? His long hair straight out of the 70s. Yeah. It's just like, what?
I mean, you could say that for a lot of characters in this movie.
Very true.
None of them look like, except for John Carroll Lynch, because that's,
yeah, yeah.
I mean, he's just one of those guys that, like, you notice his face, right?
Yeah,
away.
Yeah. He was very good in this movie. I was surprised.
Well, he's a good actor. He's a solid actor. He's one of those where you know the face, and he's very reliable, if not like over the top incredible, or, you know, he doesn't
have a lot of big roles.
Yeah, you can't like name his big roles, but he's one of those like, oh, that guy, like he's a solid guy.
The one I always remember him from is Zodiac.
Yep, that's what, about the only one I do remember him from.
Most of the other time he's very small characters.
Yeah,
and I think that's always know him.
I think that's why I'm surprised, because like he could go toe to toe with any of these actors in this movie.
Oh yeah,
yeah, undoubtedly.
It's kind of crazy.
So one of the things that surprised me about this movie, and Shane tried to hit on it or was going to, is usually with courtroom cases, they're more slow paced. They're very actor driven. So if you don't have those actors, it's not going to be a very good movie. But I think this movie, it moves very well for being a courtroom movie.
And then it was similar to, I'll mention Whiplash again, where it's a subject that's not necessarily super exciting, and he made that into like a thriller where it was tense and
right.
it was quick pace, and this is similar. It's a different tone. It's less intense. It's less like aggressive, I guess, but it's more. It takes a subtle touch to make something resonate, and it does, and it has real life implications even, and it resonates still to this day, if not more so, but also to make it feel fun and kind of, I don't want to say lighthearted, because it's not, but
yeah,
but it has a fun tone. He makes it exciting, he makes it fun and playful almost, while still maintaining that serious respect for the facts.
Yeah, and I told my wife numerous times watching this movie. I mean, this takes place in 1968, and here we are in 2021, and it's still stuff that's going on in our world.
Yeah, just incredible the amount of things. It's like, yeah. It's all happening.
I know.
It's all happening. It's insane.
It's like you look at it and you're like, wait, when was this movie
about? I mean, they could have said 2018. You know, I mean,
they could have said 2024, and I'd have been like, "Yeah, it makes sense."
All happening. If you put a pandemic in the middle of it, I'd have been really scared. But
yeah,
I mean, it's crazy how much of this. It's crazy, but also kind of sad that.
Yeah. Oh yeah, it is definitely
in 50, 60 years that we've not gone that far.
Right. Like, we've come so far in the ways of technology, but then in other ways, it's like, we're the same. We're the same. We have iPhones now.
Same idiots.
Right.
Go ahead.
Okay. One of the things I wanted to kind of touch on is escaping me right now. So Steve,
thank you for interrupting Steve to make that great point.
This movie got me curious about Judge and how he acted, and was he really that bad? So I bought a book. I think it's called Confessions in the Street. It's like a pretty much a manuscript of what went on in the trial.
Bought a book and read the back of it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I tried. I finished one page. But nice. Reading the book and the manuscript, that's exactly how the judge was.
Yeah.
Like, he was
worse even.
He was terrible. He wouldn't let them bring in certain witnesses. He wouldn't let them bring certain evidence into trial because he was so for the state. And then
that's the one thing that I hope that if anything has progressed since 1968, I would hope a judge would not be allowed to get away with being that blatantly.
And you see it with
it's just terrible.
Like all the stuff that happens with Bobby Seale.
Yeah.
Yeah.
100% true.
Yeah.
Bobby Seale literally like cusses at him. He's calling him a racist. He's calling him a fascist. And he's just like, I'm beloved by the black community. You should see all the people that come to my house and this and that. Like, mm-hmm. It's like the old saying, like, oh, I have black friends, so I'm right. racist. Yep. Sacha Baron Cohen's character, so they have the same last name. And I don't know I can't remember if he does it in the movie, but he just starts going by Abby because he's like, I don't want my last name to be the same as this guy.
Right.
So the judge is like fighting with him, like, you have to have your name. You can't just change your name because just like that. It's just like, it was amazing to see like how true to life they were with this movie. Yeah.
And that's the thing, you brought up a good point where you say you had to check, like, did this really happen? Because it's almost unbelievable the things that happen in this movie, and you go and check and it's like, oh my god, that, yes, it was mm-hmm. that mm-hmm. bad that mm-hmm. he really did that. That's insane.
Well, okay, so one thing I remember what I was going to say, and it kind of ties into this pretty well, is Aaron Sorkin's ability to write a script to portray the emotions that you're supposed to get from hating this, like these characters, right? Like latching on to quote unquote the good guys, you right. know, hating the judges, but then also spinning it to be able to like tell you the like break down the terminology in a court case and right. be able to tell an audience easily
to make complex mundane yes. situations and stories
yes.
incredibly enthralling
and easy and, to understand and true
yeah right yes. exactly yeah and it's like it, yeah he that's what he's good at
for sure 100% he was
I mean and you talk about that and it's true he's an incredible writer in this movie. If I wouldn't have known it was based on a true story, yeah. you'd almost think it was terrible writing. Like, oh, come on. This right. cartoon caricature right. of a judge. Like, really? Come on, dude. You can write better than that. But like, no, he's just
right.
that big of a pile of crap. So
maybe we're not giving the bad movies enough credit.
Yeah, maybe so. Maybe cartoon characters really do exist in real right. life. Just these caricature one-note characters.
Without a doubt. Sorkin did win best screenplay from the Golden Globes. I would not be surprised. I haven't seen any of the other best original screenplays, but I would not be surprised if he was a winner in this.
And I wouldn't dispute it in any way. It's an incredible screenplay. I have some issues that we'll get into later.
Okay.
Actually, not some issues, just one issue.
what's your one issue?
Well, okay, so actually, probably a good time because it hinges off of what we're talking about. It, for the most part, this movie is incredibly fact based, incredibly realistic, and he tells it in a way that's entertaining. And the ending mm-hmm, to mm-hmm. me, it just is a letdown, and it's in the way that he presents it, and it's. It feels very just like, yay, everybody stands up and cheers and there's a freeze frame at the end and it, like it's
like it's an 80s movie where it's like, I don't mean, you
come on right
like, about me
and he changed it up for some reason so basically that's part of the gripe is why he changed that because I looked it up and one character did give a speech. It wasn't that speech. It wasn't the list wasn't of names from Vietnam. You know, it wasn't. They apparently did try to do that, but got cut off and not allowed to do that. But the speech would have fit perfectly into the tone of this movie and into the message and of what it was trying to tell. It was, the speech was all about racism and the, yeah. The real life speech is an incredible speech. He could have just done it word for word and it would have fit the movie and been incredible. But for some reason it had to get very melodramatic and just kind of easy way out. Like it just felt very lame to me the way that he decided to end it.
I think he went with the cheerful route where these guys ended up getting one over on the judge and this and that. Whereas I don't think it really fit the tone of the movie at all.
Well, it just didn't feel real to me, I guess. It was true. That was the only part of this movie that felt like a movie or like a TV, you know, courtroom drama. Like it just really, I don't know. The ending just bugged me. And it wasn't how it ended or anything like that. I get the speech itself, I think was fine. And it did fit into that character and everything mm-hmm. that was going on, but it was just the way it was presented that it was Aaron Sorkin, the director, that bugged me, not Aaron Sorkin, the writer. I think it was just the way that it felt very sitcom-y. It was too clean, I guess. I don't know.
It didn't bother me. Bugged me. Honestly, I didn't care about that at all.
Really?
I thought maybe it felt a little weird, but I don't know. It just,
and that's my only gripe. It's not a huge gripe. I'm probably making a bigger deal of it than it is because it is a gripe, but
I kind of liked because they brought it up earlier about like the list of names and them writing it down, you know, and it's like this recurring thing that keeps happening,
right?
I kind of like that's how it ended, even if that's not how it happened in real life.
I think that's what I mean by like I don't hate the writing of the ending. I don't hate how the ending happened, how it transpired. I think it's just the tone of it and how it was presented to me.
Interesting. Yeah, I don't know. I guess you're on your own for that one. I don't know.
All right, fair enough.
Sorry.
So I had heard that this movie was a long time in the making.
Really?
I guess Steven Spielberg was going to direct it in the first place. And he wanted to have.
Can you imagine the sappy ending on that one?
I was just about to say, I am so glad Sorkin did this.
So I don't want to hate on Spielberg. He's one of the best ever, but he has a tendency to get real sappy.
Yes, this movie is definitely better in Sorkin's hands. Anyway, go ahead.
So he, and this is from IMDb. He planned on meeting with Heath Ledger to play Tom Hayden.
Really?
Interesting. That long ago.
But Ledger passed away the day before he was supposed to meet with Spielberg. And the one I thought was interesting is that he wanted Will Smith to play Bobby Seale.
Interesting. I honestly don't think I would have preferred that. As much as I like Will Smith, I would have preferred it.
Yeah.
I think he would have been almost too famous at that point.
I also think he would have been a little over the top with it because he has a tendency to do that. While I love Will Smith, I think this guy nailed it. I had never seen him before, but he was.
Yeah, you have if you've seen Aquaman. He was Black Manta?
Oh yeah, like gotcha.
He's another one that I think is going to be. He's on an upward trajectory. He had a good performance in that and a huge blockbuster movie.
He was in Us, but I don't remember him in Us.
I don't either.
But he's got a lot of movies. He's got Candyman coming out, The Matrix 4, Aquaman 2.
Is he playing?
He's playing Anthony McCoy. Is that the main character?
And, I don't know who that is.
Furiosa, he's supposed to be in that too.
Yeah, he's in the few things that I've seen him in, he's been very good, so. And I guess we haven't mentioned his name. It's Yahya Abdul-Mateen.
Second, we did not mention him. Thank you.
And he is, like I said, in everything I've seen in him, he's been very good. So he's another one that's on a upward trajectory. I'll definitely watch what he's in.
For sure. Well, guys, another thing I really wanted to talk about, I think we're getting towards the end of our show.
Yes, sir.
But one thing I want to talk about is I really enjoyed how Trial of the Chicago 7 was able to intercut what seemed to be at least was real footage.
Yeah, it definitely is real footage because you could definitely see the grainy quality of the video.
Right.
Or they just are super good at...
Right, that's what I was going to say. Like, maybe it's fake, but this definitely, at the very least,
I mean,
seemed real.
They're definitely nominated for film editing, so... yeah, props to them. It was really good, and I enjoyed how they had the actual footage from that because I think it added to this film.
And another thing, the I don't know if it goes down to production design, the costume design, all of it probably... It felt very 70s without feeling like they were trying to make it feel.
For right. Sure.
I mean, it was 60s, I guess, 68, yes. Almost 70s. But it, because a lot of movies that try to be period pieces feel like
there's just trying tie-dye to be a, right? Flowers like, everywhere.
It was very subtly done in a way that you knew it when it took place, but it wasn't right. In your face and shoved down your throat. Like, oh, look, it's the 70s or 60s or late 60s, right, whatever the right. case, you know?
Yeah. And
so props to all of them that did that.
Yeah. Without a doubt. Can you guys think of anything about the sound or cinematography in this film? That like stood out to you or that you didn't like?
You say this was nominated for cinematography?
It was.
That and one... also best original score or adapted score? I can't remember it.
Music or written for motion pictures, the song.
Yeah, I can't remember.
I don't know.
I had seen it nominated and I couldn't tell you the song that was played.
And I couldn't really point out a high note of the cinematography, I guess. It was fine.
It looked clean. It looked really good.
I mean, I'd have to rewatch it again to focus on that.
This movie, I think, is so solid throughout, but the acting is still so far above everything else. That's what you're focused on.
The story is so fast paced. You kind of get lost in the flow of the storytelling. At least I did, I guess I really didn't notice or pay attention to the details and the
at the very least it's stuff. Not bad enough to be distracting.
Right. Yeah, exactly. It must all gel really well because it feels all
smooth. Also, guys, I just want to say this out loud. Best achievement in cinematography is the person nominated is called Fadon Papamichael.
Papa Michael.
His last name is literally Papa and then Michael. All one word.
Good for him.
Yeah, good for him, Papa Michael.
Yeah. Do we have to start calling you Papa Michael?
Yes, please do.
Hey, Papa Michael.
Hey, Papa Michael. Please do.
Go ahead. I am your host, Papa Michael.
Yeah, right. Welcome to our show. Papa Shane is here, as well as our studio sponsor, Papa John.
Ooh, if you could get him to sponsor us, that would be sweet.
We are not officially sponsored by anyone, for that matter. Anyway, are we ready to rate this movie?
Yeah, I am.
I think
so. Okay. Guys, you will have to forgive me. I am on a new computer. I don't have the... whatchamacallit, the spreadsheet. So I won't be able to do this or that this segment, but I can still calculate our score. So who wants to go first? Steve, you picked it. Do you want to go first or last?
I would like to go last.
Okay. You know what? Screw you, Shane. I'm going first.
Okay.
I'm going to give this movie a solid 8.75. I really enjoyed it. And this is one of the few courtroom dramas where I think I would recommend it to pretty much anyone. Actually, to pretty much any American.
Yeah.
I don't think people outside of the US would really give a hoot.
It would be a good glimpse into America, though. I mean, in our court system and the problems, obviously, that last 50 years and nothing changes.
Right. So I changed it. I would recommend this to anyone who is not an American.
Right. Americans are like, yeah, duh. That's
our system is
broken.
Yeah, you didn't know this? Vishen, what about you?
I'm right there with you. I've got written down 8.5 because I think it's definitely in the A range. I wouldn't say it's a classic. It doesn't quite make it in that classic or amazing movie where I'm just enamored with it, but it's so well done. The acting, I mean, down to every last role is perfect. But it just falls short of being that, you know, great, amazing movie that would make my top 10 or whatever the case, you know. So it is very, very good. I highly recommend it. It's on Netflix if you have Netflix. So I would absolutely recommend it to anybody, even if you don't think it's your thing. It's done so well that you'll enjoy it.
Right. Steve, what about you?
I'm also going to give it an 8.5. I really enjoyed this movie. It surprised me how much I enjoyed this movie. And the acting is fantastic. So if you want to see some good acting, definitely check this one out. 8.5.
So here's a question. We all know that Aaron hates Eddie Redmayne for, I don't know why, hates his face, I guess. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And his quote is he always acts like he's talking to his shoulder.
He does.
Okay, but my question is, do you think Aaron would enjoy Eddie Redmayne in this, or would he say, oh my God, it's just another Eddie Redmayne performance?
It's another Eddie Redmayne movie supported by other great acting.
I agree. And I think, honestly, he's a fine actor. I don't think he's amazing. I don't hate him. And I think he's, yeah, it's just an Eddie Redmayne performance. I think, yeah, I agree. He's fine.
I think Aaron
he has gives his Eddie Redmayne-isms.
Yes, for sure. I think Aaron gives this movie a high score, but I think he gives Eddie Redmayne's score.
Oh, and I think like this a would four. Lose at least a half a point because of Eddie Redmayne.
Right.
And his face. All right.
I actually have
the, you have the list?
The list up.
Nice.
So 8.59 average for this movie. Mike, that's a B plus?
A minus.
A minus, yep.
So just going up our list, same score, Pulp Fiction.
Pulp Fiction.
Probably.
Only because Pulp Fiction, I think I could watch that more times and in the future.
Yeah.
Just a little lower score, The Town.
Ooh.
The Town, because I tend to gear more towards action and thrillers.
Yeah, I'd probably see The Town as well.
Just a little lower score, The Invisible Man.
This.
Ooh. This is probably a better movie. I'd watch The Invisible Man before this, though. Again, it more action, more thriller.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Just a second.
I mean, not to say that either of those are bad, though.
No, and I'm picking those. Just that's just personal preference. This is a fantastic movie. It would hold its own against any of those.
I'm happy if we watch either one.
John Wick 3.
Oh, John Wick 3.
Haven't seen the third one.
That one's easy for me.
I would tend to lean, after seeing 1 and 2, I would tend to lean 3.
Dude, you have to see that.
All right.
What's that movie, the Scott Pilgrim? I'll watch that one if you watch John Wick 3.
Deal.
That's our homework assignments before next week.
All right.
Last one, Good Will Hunting.
Good Will. Only because of Robin Williams. That's one of my favorite performances ever. He's so great in that.
Yeah, Good Will has too many good lines, I think, for it to be upended by this one. But wasn't Good Will Hunting a Harvey Weinstein production?
I don't know. I don't hold that against
it. Pretty sure it is. So
if anybody can counteract the evil that was put into this world by that man, it's
Robin
the
Williams.
Pure joy that Robin Williams brought to this world. They counteract each other.
Fair enough. Oh, man. So, yes, 8.59 for Trial of the Chicago 7. Shane, you have a pick for next week. What is it?
It's Alien, which is a listener request, and like I said, I'm blown away. We haven't done it. I know it's going to be
Alien.
Alien, correct. The first. Yes.
Okay. So this
was requested by Max.
Yeah,
he didn't. It was the only name he gave.
Alien was actually the very first trial episode of our show.
Oh, I wasn't part of that. That's why we. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, let's bring it back.
I don't even know if I have the files anymore, but it was the very first trial of this episode. We had like three trial goes before we finally put out an episode.
Yeah. Well, we need to, because that's an amazing, amazing movie. Yeah. And that's my choice.
All right. Alien. I'm looking forward to this. Who directed this? I'm sorry.
What?
Yeah, Ridley Scott. Sorry. No. Hang on. James Cameron was coming to my mind. And I was like, that's not right. Is it?
Nope. I wish you would have said it, though.
I know, right? You can imagine. I say all these dumb
things. I can imagine you saying that. Yes.
I'll say it right now. James Cameron directed Ridley Scott's. Oh, boy. Damn it. James Cameron directed Ridley Scott's Alien. Yep. Anyway, all right. Well, that's ending the show. Join us next week for Alien. In the meantime, go to our website, moviereviewcrew.com. Again, request movies right on the homepage. Anything else, gentlemen?
I think that's it.
All right. Someone in the show.
Tell your friends.
Let's go. But inconspicuously. Through the window.
Lady, I'm afraid I'm going to have to ask you to leave the store.
Okay, that's it. Screw you guys. I'm going home.
Game over, man. Game over. What are we going to do now? What are we going to do?
Good night and good luck.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Movie Review Crew. Remember to like us and find us on any of your favorite social media platforms, as well as go to our website, moviereviewcrew.com.
You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.